Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua and chapter 24, the chapter we read from earlier, the last chapter of the book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 15, the first part of verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And our subject this morning is choosing the Lord, choosing the Lord. Well, we come to this portion of scripture before us this morning from the Old Testament book of Joshua. And in this final chapter of the book of Joshua, we find him really giving his final words to the nation of Israel. Joshua will soon come to the end of his life. We read of that in this chapter in verse 29, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. So Joshua in this chapter is about to come to the end of his life. And well, it has been a memorable life. Joshua, of course, was the one who had been the successor to Moses. It was Moses who had led the Israelites out of Egypt. They had been slaves in Egypt, remember, oppressed by Pharaoh, until God sent Moses to deliver them, to lead them out of slavery. And that is what he did, with the Lord's almighty help, of course, from on high. And the Israelites had subsequently wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and a whole generation of them had died out until they came to the promised land. But Moses did not lead them into the promised land, as I'm sure many of you will be aware. God had promised Israel their own land, the land of Canaan, but after that 40 years, Moses did not enter into it. He saw it from afar, but he did not lead them into it. He died before they entered in. It was Joshua, in fact, who would take them into the promised land. And this book of Joshua gives that account, the historical account, and it is, of course, true history, of all that came to pass under Joshua's time as leader of Israel. And in this book, well, I won't give a detailed recap of the whole book of Joshua, but the Israelites take the land, and the land is divided up amongst the tribes of Israel. And really, now Joshua, in this chapter, he is instructing the nation how to keep the land. How are they going to keep the land? How are they going to ensure that there is always safety and security in the land? How will they know peace in this land? And this depends on them making a choice. They have to make a choice. That is what Joshua says to them. If you want prosperity in the land, if you want peace in the land, well, it depends on the choice that you make. And this is what is being presented here in verse 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the true and living God, or will you serve something else? So that is very simply the choice that is being presented to them. He's saying, really, there's only one way of blessing. There's only one way to lasting peace in the land. Which way are you going to choose? That is what is seen here in this chapter. So that was the choice facing the Israelites. And this, of course, is the choice that every single one of us has to make in our own lives. If we want to know true peace in our lives, if we want to know true joy in our lives, true security, if you want to know that all is well with your soul, well, there is a choice that you have to make. A choice that is presented to you, and it's the same choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It is the same choice that we have to face and we have to consider. Are we going to serve the true and living God, or are we actually going to serve something else? It's very simple. And this is going to be our focus this morning, because the question that is being posed to the nation is the same that is posed to us. And so this is the great thing that we have to consider. How have we chosen here this morning? Some of you will have chosen one way. Some of you are still choosing the other way. So how have we all chosen here this morning? And my first heading as we consider these things is that there is a choice to make. There is a choice to make. Now, if I can start just by making a general statement, life is all about choices. Life is all about choices. You don't have to be religious to understand this. Life is all about the choices that you make. If you make good choices, well, then you can expect good outcomes. If you make bad choices, well, then you can expect bad outcomes. That's very simple. Life is all about the choices that we make. Sometimes the choices in our lives, we're not sure what decision we need to make, because this life is so uncertain. The future is uncertain. You cannot see into the future. People around you cannot give you any good advice. So some choices, they're very hard to make. And again, this is why we point people to the Lord. You must seek the Lord. You must pray to God. You must seek His guidance. Don't depend on what people tell you to do. They don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you have to look to the Lord. You have to call upon Him. Let Him guide you. He is all wise. He is all knowing. He can see past, present, future, as I've already prayed. He knows all things. Why would you not trust in Him? Why are you trying to make your own decisions based on your own foolish, limited intellect and wisdom? Look to the Lord. There are so many choices to make in your life. And yet so many people, they don't look to the Lord at all. And they end up making the wrong choice, the foolish choice. Dear friends, this is very simple, and I'm just making a general comment just to start off with. But it's the same, of course, with the Christian faith. This is what we're talking about this morning. The Christian faith, the gospel. The Christian faith is all about a choice. Everyone who is a Christian, or anybody who is a Christian, has chosen to be a Christian. Now, of course, there is slightly more to it than that. I like to keep things simple this morning, but yes, we do understand and we believe that there is a reason why a Christian chooses the Lord. When a Christian chooses the Lord, there is a reason why, a reason that has nothing to do with him, but has everything to do with God. Yes, we know that, we understand that, but nevertheless, it is still perfectly true to say that every Christian personally chooses the Lord. He or she chooses the Lord, chooses to follow Christ. And so this is why, for example, this is why we do not believe that you are born a Christian. If you are born a Christian, it means that you had no choice in the matter. So you can't be born a Christian. Yes, the other religions will say this. You can be born a Hindu. You can be born a Muslim. But in Christianity, there is a choice. You choose. So you cannot be born Christian, because otherwise you have no choice in the matter. But we are called to choose. Joshua is saying to the nation of Israel, choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You can't be born a Christian. You have to personally choose. So there are no people who are born Christians. You choose personally. And additionally, following on from that, you can never force anybody to be a Christian. And I so often say this. If somebody is a forced Christian, they are not a Christian at all. You cannot force somebody into the Christian life, into the Christian faith. Christianity has to be a choice. It has to be a free, a willing, a happy choice, a personal choice. That is what Christianity is. If it's not, well then, you don't really have a true profession of faith. You're not a true Christian. In the eyes of God, you are not. You are not a true Christian, because God desires us to personally, willingly, happily choose him. It is a choice that we have to make. And so again, we have to ask ourselves the question, have I actually chosen Christ? Have I ever personally chosen the Lord? And do I understand what this means? This is the nature of the Christian faith. It is a choice. But my second heading is, it's a choice to serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. When we choose the Lord, well, it is clear from this passage that we choose God alone. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You will serve God alone if you choose him. You won't choose anything else. You won't choose any other gods and add them to the true and living God. No, you will choose him alone. Now, one illustration that perhaps will help you is one of a wedding illustration. A bridegroom on the day of his wedding. Well, it is clear to all, what he is declaring at his wedding is that he has chosen just one bride. He hasn't chosen many brides, many women to marry. He has chosen just one, and he forsakes all others. That is what the wedding vows declare. I choose this lady to be my wife. I forsake all others. This is how we must choose the Lord. You choose God and you forsake all others. You cannot choose God and then choose others also, choose to serve other things. You must forsake all other gods. This is what Joshua is saying to the people. Verse 23, "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." They will only serve the true and living God. Dear friends, how about us? Are we serving the true and living God and him alone? The Israelites, well, if they served other gods, it would have been foolish to them. All the other gods were made of wood and stone. All the other gods were no gods at all. They had been made by men. They had eyes, but they could see not. They had ears, but they could hear not. It was utter foolishness to worship those other gods. They didn't gain anything from those gods. Far better to worship the true and living God who had brought them out of Egypt, who had actually intervened in the life of Israel, who had done things, who had parted the Red Sea for them. Why do you not worship that God? Dear friends, if we apply it to ourselves, so many people worship things that do nothing for them. So many people worship things in their lives, their hobbies, their pastimes, movies, music, that actually do nothing for them, that cannot actually help in the difficulties of life and all their trials. All of these things, really, they're just ways of escape. They don't actually solve the problems in your life. Movies, music, it's just escaping your problems. They're not helping you in any way. Why do you worship them? Worship the true and living God. Do you worship something that you gain nothing from? I remember, and I've mentioned this many times, before I was saved, I used to follow a football team all around the land. Really, I served this football team. All my money was spent following this team. All my time, pretty much, was spent following this team. But then somebody said to me, and I'm very thankful for this. They said to me, what do you actually gain from doing all this? What do you gain from all this traveling and going here and there? And it struck me, I don't actually gain anything. I'm giving a lot away. All my money's going, yes. All my time is going. What am I actually gaining? Not very much at all. And yet people worship these kinds of things. Why don't you worship the true and living God? This is what Joshua is saying to the people. Don't worship that which is foolish, which can't actually help you in any way. The living God will help you as he helped Israel and as he has helped countless Christians. And the other thing as well to mention, when the Israelites turned to other gods, it made them do terrible things. The gods of the other nations, the gods of the regions round about, they had to offer up terrible offerings, terrible rituals, terrible things would be done. There was one god, Molech, that commanded child sacrifice. And the Israelites were engaged in these things. If they worshipped other gods, well, they would be guilty of great sin. Dear friends, it's the same for us. If we turn away from the Lord, if we as a nation, as a church, or as individuals, if we serve other gods, we end up doing terrible things. Our sins get worse, dear friends. There are sins in the lives of each and every one of us that we know we struggle with, that we know even have a power over us. The longer you stay without God, the worse it gets. If you serve other gods, I'm not having God, I'm going to serve other gods, you will get worse. You will get worse in your character. You will get worse in your covetousness, in your pride, in your bitterness, whatever it is, your anger, your lust. The longer you live without God, the worse it gets. If you turn to the living God, well, he leads you the other way. He leads you to holiness. He's a holy God. You see, you serve other gods, they lead you further into sin. You serve God, he leads you into holiness. And you have the fruit of the Spirit and your character changes. You're refined. You have more love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance. All the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Dear friends, why would you serve anything else? This is the choice before you. This is the choice. Are you going to serve useless gods in your life? Or are you going to serve the true and living God? Are you going to continue with sin in your life, enslaving you increasingly as you get older? It gets worse and worse. Or are you going to repent and turn to the living God and live in holiness? This is the choice before you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And this is how the Israelites were challenged. And this was what was before the Israelites. But thirdly, let me come to my third heading. This decision, this choice, is made with the heart and with the mind. It's a decision made, a choice made with the heart and with the mind. Now, some choices that we make in our lives are almost purely emotional, based purely on emotion, on feelings. There are many decisions perhaps that we make and they're just based on the way that we feel, or even based, you could say, purely on sentimentality. This is how much of the world decides things nowadays. It's all emotional. Choices are made emotionally. Is that what it's like to make a choice for God? Well, let me put it to you in this way. Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, the heart is engaged. We always say this, don't we? Christianity is a heart religion. The heart must be affected. The inner man must be affected. The heart must be moved. But at the same time, it is not purely based on emotions. Sometimes you get churches and preaching that is overly emotional, and sometimes maybe they will add emotional music. for you to make a decision for the Lord. So the preaching is not enough. Let's get the emotions whipped up. We'll play something on the piano. Sometimes the lights are turned down low to provoke an emotional response. Let's get the emotions worked up in the church, and then they will all come to Christ. Dear friends, that is not how it should be. It's not purely emotion. The mind has to be involved also. Yes, the heart is there, but it's not just pure emotion. We have to remember and understand the things that we believe. The mind is not bypassed. You see, there are some people, aren't there, who think that we as Christians, we don't ever engage our minds, that we just blindly follow a religion, that we are just emotionally manipulated. That's what the world thinks of us. We're just emotionally manipulated into following after God. That's not how it ought to be, of course not. The mind is engaged. We don't bypass the mind. We are those, well, Christians are those who have actually begun to think about things, to think seriously about life, why we are here, what is the meaning of life, why do we live, why do we die, what happens after this life. A Christian is someone who's actually started to think about these things. And a Christian, too, is somebody who actually understands what God has done in sending Christ. You know, well, let me put it again in this way. You can only really love God with your heart if you understand what God has done. So it's a decision, it's a choice based on the heart and the mind. You will never love God unless you understand what he has done. And what has God done? Well, he has sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, the second person of the triune Godhead, the one whom God the Father loves, the very riches of heaven. He sent him down to earth, to this sinful world. To do what? To be an earthly king? No. To be a poor man, a carpenter's son, to be persecuted, to be attacked, a man of sorrows. And he went to the cross. He died on the cross in his prime. He suffered on the cross. And why was that? Well, it was for us. He knew no sin. He never did anything wrong in his life. Not a bad word, not a bad thought in his mind or in his heart. But he took upon himself the punishment, not his punishment, our punishment. We have sinned. We have sinned against God. We have broken his laws millions of times, thousands of times every day. All of our sins were placed upon him. He took the punishment, our substitute, our scapegoat, in our place. Father, punish me instead of them. I love my people, even though they are sinners. Even though they barely do anything right, I will take the punishment for their sin. He loved us. He gave himself for us. This is what it means. Do we understand it? You'll never truly love God unless you understand. So it's not just emotion. Yes, the heart is engaged. It's not just intellect, by the way. It's both. It's a choice involving the heart and the mind. That's the choice that we make. Do you understand these things, dear friends? It's so important that you understand what the Lord has done for us. But dear friends, let me come to my fourth point. We're almost at the end. Five more minutes. The fourth heading, the choice that we make regarding these things, regarding spiritual matters, is always the choice that we want. It's always the choice that we want. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when you choose the Lord, it is always the choice we want. I've already explained this. We willingly, happily choose God. If you make a choice for the Lord, you want the Lord because you know that you need the Lord. I need a Savior. I know that I have sinned. I know that one day I will stand before God. I need somebody to wash away my sin, to take the punishment for my sin. I need Christ. I want the Lord. I want salvation, and that's why you pray to God. It's a choice that you make because you want it. But if you don't choose the Lord, well, again, that is what you want. If you reject the Lord, what you are saying is that you don't want God, you want something else, you want the other gods. You want the world, you want the pleasures of the world, you want yourself. You want your own desires, your own ambitions. That is what you want. That is the choice that you have made. That is what you want. And so, dear friends, when the Lord, as we read in the scriptures, when the Lord, as it were, sends people to hell, to that lost eternity, it is entirely fair because it is what people want. They have made their choice. They have made the choice to reject God and to live without Him. They have made the choice. That is what they want. We see it all around us when you speak to people about Christ. They don't want you to talk to them about God. They don't want you to talk to them about Christ and about salvation. So therefore, they will end up in a place where there is no talk about Christ or about salvation or about being saved. That's what they want. They don't want you to talk about those things. So that is where they will end up. And when you speak to people about the Lord also, well, won't they boast? They will tell you, you'll never convert me. Pastor, preacher, you could speak for a million years. I will never turn to the Lord. Nobody's ever going to convert me or make me a Christian. Well, therefore, you will end up in a place, millions of years, eternity, where you never will be converted. That is what you want. That is the choice that you have made. Dear friends, I have to point these things out because it is not God who is unfair in sending anybody to hell. This is the choice that people make. So I have to ask again, what is the choice that you have made? If you turn away from the Lord, dear friends, that is the wrong choice. And I can even put it this way, you are not in your right mind. You are not in your right mind. We've spoken about the mind. But anybody in their right mind would choose the Lord. That's the point I'm trying to make. Anyone in their right mind would obviously choose the Lord, would choose to live for eternity and have their sins forgiven. If you don't want that, you are not in your right mind. And I know we live in a world where so many people are not in their right mind, and they want others, everybody, to not be in their right mind. Don't be in your right mind. Don't listen to common sense. Don't listen to your conscience. The conscience that God has given you, don't listen to that. Don't be in your right mind. Think like a mad person. We live in a world like that. I know this. But dear friends, you have to choose for yourself. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Even if everybody else is making the wrong decision, you must turn to the Lord. This is what he says. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let everyone else choose what they want. You must think of your soul. You must think of salvation. You must think of all the sins that you have committed and how you will stand before God one day. You must be saved. So, dear friends, don't follow the crowd. Say what is written here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is the choice that you must make. This is the choice that you will never regret for all eternity, choosing the Lord. Well, may the Lord bless these wonderful words to us, and may he help us to make that right and that happy choice.